Hey everyone, it's a rare Stunt Granny audio pay-per-view preview show. We used to do these. I think the last one we did was, besides WrestleMania, I believe was probably Royal Rumble of this year. Yeah.
Wow.
So
you,
yeah.
I figure you would have a little better of a bearing on it since I believe you were the one involved in archiving a bunch of our shows.
Yeah. Okay, I'll take that back. I guess I got to backtrack already. It's the last one Kevin and I did. I know Dusty and Eric and Jordan did one or two probably. But I think one was Survivor Series. No, I'm sorry, not Survivor Series, the other S1, SummerSlam. So, we're back. We're going to cover WWE's, and it's a real barn burner, WWE's TLC Tables, Ladders, and Chairs pay-per-view, which is airing tomorrow. So we're recording this Saturday, obviously. So, let's see. Now that I'm done running around the house trying to find my drink. All right. Let's see. It was funny. When I texted you yesterday, I absolutely didn't realize there was a pay-per-view Sunday. I really honestly didn't. I was thinking, when are they going to have a pay-per-view? Because Sunday is the day after Christmas next week. New Year's Day... Or the January 2nd, right?
Yeah.
New Year's Day. It's a Saturday, right?
New Year's Day is Saturday.
Yeah. So you don't want to have it on a Sunday after everyone's, you know, just spent all their money on Christmas and New Year's. So that's the only reason I really checked. And then I actually caught an ad for it surfing on my phone or something. I don't know how I found out, but so anyways. This is one of those pay-per-views. This replaced the ECW, what the hell was the ECW one called? Hardcore
Revolution? I don't
remember.
That sounds about right.
Whatever. it replaced the ECW thing. So, basically, in its place, they've taken a gimmick match, made it an entire themed pay-per-view, blah, blah. We all know this, so just for those who aren't uninitiated, that's what it is. There aren't too many matches on this thing. There's 3, 4, 5, 6 matches, and one is a Divas match. So, unless they add something...
Well, they did not add the one match that really could have been a separate match there. I don't know why they just didn't have, airing there on SmackDown last night. I don't know why they just didn't have Alberto Del Rio against Rey Mysterio all by itself.
Yeah, I thought that was an odd choice as well.
You know, after looking at the slate of matches, it's kind of like, okay, they've kind of kept this thing going. Like, it's kind of weird to me a little bit to throw them into a main event match against two guys that have really been going at it pretty good. Well, not going at it, but, God, every week on SmackDown for the last 3 weeks, we've seen something with Edge, Kane, and Paul Bearer for, at least 20 minutes of the TV time.
Right. Yeah, we'll just go in with this match since we're already on it. So first, we'll give you all the participants. It's been a while, so we'll have to figure out how to do this again. SmackDown's got the World Heavyweight Championship match, Kane vs. Edge vs. Mysterio vs. Del Rio, in a Tables, Ladders, and Chairs match, Fatal 4-Way. So whoever gets the title off the hook is the champion. Originally, as Kevin was getting at, this was Edge and Kane. And then on Friday night SmackDown, they added Del Rio and Edge because they weren't sure if Kane was going to show up because he killed his own father. So there it is. To be honest, SmackDown is not an enjoyable show to watch anymore. It's, to me at least, it's got a lot of just second stringers when there's four rings. I mean, you know, there's four levels. There's a lot of number twos, not a lot of number threes on the show yet. I mean, there hasn't been an ascension of anybody. So, Del Rio would be considered one,
coming through really quiet, Hoss.
Oh, awesome. All right.
Hey, there you go.
It's probably
this, back.
Yeah, it's probably this awesome droid technology because it makes the phone sound so good. But no, they were... What I was getting at was that there's not a lot of threes on SmackDown now. There's a lot of twos and a couple fours. So adding this match didn't make much sense when, going back to what you were saying, they should have had Rey versus Del Rio on here. It's not a feud that's played out. They still go after each other. So why not have this match on, add one more match, put seven on there?
Yeah. I'm not sure. Yeah, they're crossing streams, as the Ghostbusters might say.
Well, let's hope that the match doesn't turn out to be quite as bad as what they thought would have happened. I don't know. Watching SmackDown last night, Teddy Long added, and then Ed said he didn't want to win the title by forfeit because Kane wasn't going to show up. So he added, so Del Rio comes in and says he'll take him on. Then Mysterio comes in and says he'll take him on. And then Teddy Long goes, all right, it'll be a triple threat match. And then Edge is like, oh, okay. But if Kane shows up, then it'll be all four of you. Now, if you're Edge, aren't you a little upset going, well, wait a minute, I had a one-on-one match. Now I got to beat two other guys? So, put it that way.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think, at least?
He should be more than a shade pissed off. Like, even if you claim you're the master of the chair match, like, you'd at least say, hey, this sucks. But,
yeah.
Since I'm that good, it doesn't matter or something like that.
Yeah. I suppose because he's a face now, he's not going to say that. I guess that would be a heelish thing to do. But it just seemed weird, that he'd be like, oh, okay, cool. I guess I was expecting more of a fight, I suppose, but, but this match, they tried to bring it up that anybody can win this thing. And to me, and this goes back, I think it was Elimination Chamber 2 years ago, where they had that sequence where it was Edge and Rey Mysterio, just the two of them.
Oh,
and
yeah.
All of us were just raving how awesome that, 5-minute segment was, and just craving another Rey Mysterio Edge feud with just the two of them wrestling, not involved in, some ridiculous side story. So
right,
I'm really hoping that this is kind of what happens with this, that Edge, they get their spots, because Kane, I can't see Kane winning this, coming out of this as champion. So I'm hoping that this is kind of one of those things where you get to see those flashes again, and maybe this could be like a kind of a star-making thing for Del Rio, because I don't think people take him seriously yet. He's like kind of the guy that just walks around, and people are like, why is he still, why is he still here, basically?
Yeah, he has one of those, I think he kind of got caught in a sticky situation, I don't think it's played out between him and Rey, but I also think that they needed to cool it off after Rey got his win after coming back. I would have been fine with them kind of getting rid of that feud and moving Del Rio to someone else that he should beat, although, as you pointed out, there aren't a whole lot of fours for him to beat, and he already beat one of them.
Yeah, first time out he beat one. That goes back to Del Rio's debut, which is just was odd to begin with. But I understand they want to shock you, but still. But no,
yeah. And he did kind of get screwed, I guess, or they, as in the WWE, got screwed, because Christian would have been a good one for him to go up against until his injury. And the one other guy that I think he actually beat anyway was. MVP before he took off, didn't he?
I think so. Yeah, because it seemed like there was something going. There was something they were going to try and start with the two of them, and then poof, MVP's gone. So it's kind of like they just went back to the back burner and was like, all right, here you go. We'll go back to this because this was never finished to begin with. I'd like to say that there was a bigger plot there, but I don't think there was.
Yeah, no, I think they were thinking like I was, but they kind of got put in a corner like baby, and they couldn't get out of it.
It also seems like since Ray's come back that he hasn't. That it doesn't seem like there's any sort of emphasis on Ray at all. You know, he's just kind of back, and that's it.
Maybe
I'm just not into SmackDown that much, and it just kind of washes away. But it just doesn't seem as if he matters. I mean, he's lost two to The Miz now straight, which I guess is really there to help Miz because, you know, he's beating someone who's still substantial in someone's eyes. But as far as this match goes, it's kind of like, okay, well, there he is. And he's, of all the guys, he's the afterthought in the match, which I think is weird. That's what I'm trying to get at.
He really is. And he, as you pointed out, he has kind of been an overthought. But I think that also goes back to, you know, there just not being much on SmackDown at all. Because, who's he going to fight? Like, I mean, you can only have one person fighting Kane at a time. And
yeah.
Del Rio's like your next highest heel.
I was just thinking, who else? Let's go over the heels. We can go over the heels if you want. I mean, there's Swagger, Dolph.
Yeah, and those two aren't going to do anything for Ray, and I think Ray's already beat both of them. And Swagger's been pushed back down the card so far that I'm surprised. Who the fuck did he beat on Monday that I almost shit a brick?
Wade Barrett walked out, remember? Wade Barrett walked out on him.
Was that again? So.
Yeah, that was Big Show. That was the very beginning of Raw.
No. I'm talking about that. I wasn't talking about Wade Barrett, Big Show.
Who are you talking about?
Swagger.
Where the hell did I get Big Show from? What the fuck was I thinking?
I was going
through my head going, you know, Big Show's not on the show either. Where the hell did Swagger be? I don't remember.
Yeah, and if they don't get rid of that stupid soaring eagle that he has, good Lord. You want to talk about a bad idea. Like, okay, a once-off idea, it's kind of funny. But to that match last week, that damn soaring eagle.
Yeah. All right, well, save that for the match.
They have a match? Hornswoggle has a match at the pay-per-view?
Well, no, but I was talking, but we can bring the eagle up in the Jack Swagger, Kofi Kingston match later. And Dolph, excuse me.
They do actually have a match. Okay, never mind.
Yeah. But no, as far as like world championship matches go, I don't understand why it's a four-way. Kind of, we said that before. There was a logical, as goofy and stupid as it was, there was a logical feud with Kane and Edge. So I don't. And this pay-per-view, this pay-per-view is built around selling it on the gimmick of the matches. So they didn't need to add two more guys to this. Now they have, and now it just gets confusing when it should have just been, unless they change it, and I guess I can give them this possibility, you can change it going in. And then Del Rio and Ray go, well, we're already here, let's fight them. You know, and Del Rio can go, well, I don't want to, and Ray's like, what are you chicken? You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah,
but to get it back to the simplistic part of just two guys going straight up,
yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just because they think that they have, like, all of the match styles coordinated now since they have a chairs match, two different tables matches, I think. Because I think the women's match is a tables match, and so is the Fluky McFlukerson match.
Miz and Randy Orton and the Divas match are both tables. Yeah.
And then you got two different ladder matches and then one TLC. So I don't know. I guess that's their line of thinking, is that we don't need another match because we have all the gimmicks covered at least twice, I guess.
Yeah.
Aside from...
There's only one ladder match, isn't there? Oh, no, there are two. Oh, my God, there are two. All right.
Yeah, the TLC is the only thing that doesn't actually have two matches. But
yeah.
It doesn't, I mean, that doesn't even really matter because those things can be used in a ladder match anyway.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so let's just get into prediction time. This is probably the least interesting championship match of the group. And that includes the Intercontinental one. I'm going to go with Del Rio winning only because it's Royal Rumble season. And they like doing these things because the Royal Rumble sells itself, and you can have any match on there. So this is their time of year where they like to play around with people. Because remember, they had the Jeff Hardy-Randy Orton thing, then Jeff Hardy actually winning it one year. You know, they had all those sorts of things. And I think this is a time where they're going to keep it and have Del Rio actually take the title or championship, whatever they call it now. And run with it until, you know, either February at the Elimination Chamber or have them lose it as soon as Royal Rumble. So, just a guess. No actual information to back it up, but just for fun.
Yeah, I suppose if they're going to go with the title change, I see no reason why not to have Edge running with it until WrestleMania. So, I'm just going to go with him.
Okay. Cool. All right, now that we actually seem like we're getting some sort of steam behind us, let's go, well, we're already out of order, so let's start at the bottom. Let's go with the quick one, the Divas Championship match. I think it's a championship match. I'm not sure. They never really made it clear if it was or not. With Beth Phoenix and Natalya.
It's a tables match, so I don't know. I would assume that means I guess it's just a tag team match between the four ladies rather than a title match.
I mean, this is obviously filler, and it seems like this is just one match that'll be 5 minutes long, if that, and it ends with Natalya and Beth Phoenix putting both of them through tables so that the power chicks win over the pretty chicks, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah, and I just watched... I mean, I don't know how the Divas really in other leagues, in both leagues, can look at themselves in the mirror sometimes because their fight, the Lay Cool just got upset about a painting that showed them as witches here on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Which, like, all this stuff that has gone on with Lay Cool over the last couple of years, nobody, and I mean nobody, should have been offended. Like, even a six-year-old would know better than to be offended by the taunts that Lay Cool comes up with.
Yeah, especially with all the stuff that they've done, just like you said. And it's like, okay, that's the worst. I mean, you dressed up as Piggy for the one chick and... Or, you know, Mickey James, whatever.
And Smelly Kelly, and it's just like, wow. You know, it's just like, this is just offensive. Like, I don't know. I guess that is the attraction of earning money. You know, I mean, that shows you how much of it, because there's no reason that they can't put on. I'm not expecting them to go with a 20-minute match or anything like that, but there's no reason that it can't really be more between the 5 and 10 minute mark rather than, at best, 5 minutes.
Yeah. I think we're approaching more time spent on this match than the actual match will be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't care. And even if this was TNA, they could sit there and say, you know, we're the Knockouts, they were on Impact, like they're headlining Impact, and they're really proud to be. I'm like, who gives a fuck? A pay per view, or have more than a 5 minute match on pay per view that's not a fatal four way match.
If you want
women's wrestling, you watch Shimmer or Chick Fight. You don't watch TNA or WWE, regardless of what they try and tell you. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And impracticality of TNA women wrestlers cracks me up. I mean, and I know this is totally off the subject, but did you watch that cage match with Mickie James and Victoria, or what's her name, Tara now?
Tara.
Yeah,
like it, I was sitting there and I was just, and that's why I said both leagues when I started talking about it. It's just like, yeah, TNA gives the women more time to wrestle, but A, their women wrestlers aren't as good for the most part. And B, when they do give them time, it's just like, are you effing kidding me? Like,
well,
I don't know. Like, how many times have you seen Mickie James and Tara fight just on free TV, and that doesn't count the two pay-per-views that they've fought at already?
Right. Well,
you
want to
talk about
they...
played out.
Well, my thing is, and that's exactly right, but if you look at Angelina Love, Velvet Sky, Tara, I'm trying to think of somebody else, but those three, they wear bikini tops. And I know there's a sex appeal involved in this, but they wear bikini tops when they wrestle. They don't wear, like, singlets or, you know, like, sports bras, something like that, you know.
Right.
So it just, so there's a limited amount of action, and I know they can glue them on or use whatever, that stuff. I'm not sure what it's exactly called. So it just kills the action because they're so worried about them falling out of it. I mean, they have that Mickie James thing where they start fighting and her dress actually broke. Now, if you're actually fighting someone for real, you don't care. You're just going to be fighting.
Whatever.
Hey, who cares? Let's just go on to the next match. That's a topic for a different show, I guess.
No one cares who wins the tag team match.
Yeah. All right, so next match is a ladder match that's also a number one contenders match for some reason. This is from Raw, John Morrison and Sheamus.
Yeah, hey, I mean, at least they're doing something to, you know, spice up the match. And
yeah.
You know.
But does a ladder match need spicing up?
Well, I think it helps the feud since they've kind of been going at it tooth and nail. Sheamus is King of the Ring. Morrison has been on a bit of a roll, I'd say, aside from losing to Sheamus at King of the Ring, and they even gave him an excuse for that one. So, yeah, I mean, I think it needs something to spice the match up. They've fought at two separate pay-per-views now. Ladder match is good, but knowing that they're number one contenders is even better as far as I'm concerned.
All right, then I guess it goes to, why does John Morrison deserve to be in a number one contenders match? I mean, what's he done? I mean, I guess this is over an overall problem, really. So it's just goofy to me that all of a sudden, this is a number one contenders match. Like, I haven't done shit for 5 years, really? This is awesome. Okay.
Well, I think it's pretty clear that they've been behind him for the last 2 months here. I don't know if that's enough build-up to make him a number one contender. Although, with that match, you know, you really, depending upon who ends up winning it, whether it's, you know, and that's one good thing that they could, you were talking about, you know, having, what's his name with the title, Del Rio with the title for another couple of months. Like, they could do the same thing with The Miz, which would affect the outcome of this match to me. If they keep The Miz champ and you let Morrison win this match, you finally have the blow off to their separation feud that never really happened.
No, that's true. Yeah.
You know, you were talking about it, like nobody, you know, people are just going to get the Rumble. So you can put Miz and Morrison on there who aren't, you know, higher up on the food chain, really, either of them. I mean, I know the Miz is higher than Morrison, obviously. You don't get the title just for shits and giggles.
Yeah.
But
I didn't think of that actually. I always forget about the Miz and Morrison. It's been, they've done a very good job of not even teasing that, just basically keeping everybody away from each other. So.
Yeah, well, that's,
I mean, they've mentioned it on NXT, but who cares?
You didn't remember it since you're the one that sent me their rap video earlier this week.
Yeah, well, no, that's actually what reminded me. I found that someone sent that out and or mentioned them or something like that, and that's what reminded me. I was like, oh, that's right. I totally forgot about this. I guess my attention span is, I mean, my attention span or memory is just shit now. I mean, did not remember something like that, but now the one small preview they had for this match on Raw when they announced, you know, the match and all that. That move with Sheamus throwing him over the top rope onto that ladder, that shit looked like that hurt. I mean, and obviously they get all the stuff hurt, but that was like it hurt. And then he ran into the table, and that table didn't budge at all either.
That ladder throw looks really uncomfortable. Like, I don't care what you do to make that ladder more flexible, or make sure that it takes a little more of an impact and it's not quite as hard on someone's body. You just got tossed at least 6 foot down onto an object that is mainly metal.
Now, see, that's why I don't mind when they do the ropes thing. Where they'll put the ladder on the ropes, so at least the ropes will give a little bit when they hit. You know, kind of lessen the blow a tad. I mean, obviously, still gonna hurt like hell, but.
But on that thing was on. That thing leaned on the ropes, but it hit the mat, like the outside of the mat, almost immediately. So the rope didn't matter at all. I think it was Wade Keller. Over at Torch, even he said ouch or something like that, like just the legitimacy of that. And to me, that really sold this match for me. And in a way that it's like Sheamus' power is, I mean, that was just impressive anyways, to throw Morrison over the rope the way he did. And in such like a vicious move, it really sold the what you're going to see. I mean, I'm sure for the Morrison fans out there, they're not real happy about that, but you know, but just in general, it's like, wow, our hero, you know, and let's face it, the kid's thing's working, or has worked, I should say. So the kid would be out there kind of like, oh, my God, King Kong Bundy just beat up Hulk Hogan. So, I don't know. This is one of the matches, and it's going to be a letdown. This is the one match I'm actually looking forward to. Like, legitimately looking forward to, thinking that this could actually be really good.
Well, and I think that's the other thing. Like, I don't know why they, to me, they seem to lose faith in what Morrison could do in the ring. And that's been another thing that they've been pimping for quite a while now, the whole parkour thing. Like, whether you like that stuff or not, like, they've really kind of been putting over his training regimen. And Morrison does kind of have a different look, like, I still think that they need to change him away from being a John Cena-like babyface, but, that's... I think I already mentioned that with you or Eric the last time we actually did an audio.
Yeah.
But,
as long as he doesn't turn into
John Cena,
that's fine.
Yeah, I guess I still like Morrison. I think he has a decent move set. It's different. I still think that Starship Pain is... it gets a little wonky sometimes.
It's an impressive looking move, but if you really watch it, it doesn't do anything. He spins a lot in the air. He almost always misses it.
Yeah.
Like the Swanton. Remember when Hardy would almost never hit that thing? And now he's overcompensating and just crushing people? Yeah. The move's impressive. Just like there's one the Truth. What the hell's his name? Yeah, the Truth. Ron Killian's move.
The lie detector.
Spinning elbow thing. Is that what that thing's called? That thing is impressive looking. But if you really watch the move, and this is this is what they say. It's just all fizzle. It's a simple elbow. I mean, that barely hits most of the time. So.
Well, I don't even think it's an elbow. I just think it's the old Tito Santana flying forearm.
I'm sorry. That's what it is. Yes, that is what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
The flying burrito.
Yeah, it's the flying burrito with, you know, he just spins.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah, good for him. And now he has pneumonia, so whatever. So, I'm looking forward to this. And I don't know, you kind of swayed me. But I don't, WWE likes to pull the trigger on stuff fast. So I'm still going to go, wow, I guess it would really determine who wins. I can't see him pulling the belt off the Miz already, so I'll go with Morrison. I'll go with that. I'll go with Morrison winning this one.
Yep. Well,
you
obviously, my line of thinking there spelled out pretty easily makes me say that Morrison's winning this one. I mean, I think it would, well, and plus, you know, another thing that they haven't done yet, and I don't know if it'd be worth it wouldn't be worth bringing back Triple H, but I don't know if they decide to do something dumb like have Triple H's music play or something like that in the background. That would be a good way to, a good match to maybe start at hype and at the Royal Rumble if they want to have a Sheamus Triple H matchup. So I could see Triple H costing Sheamus the win, so Morrison gets the victory. He ends up losing to Miz at the Rumble. Miz ends up losing in what? Because the Elimination Chamber is always in February now.
Yeah,
so,
always February.
And then I can see the Miz then losing the belt at that. So I mean, those matches to me are basically interconnected. You know, like if Sheamus ends up winning, I have a hard time believing that Orton's not going to win the belt. So. I know that I'm kind of mixing the pay-per-views there, that matches, whatever. That is my line. I'm sticking with Morrison gets the number one contender spot.
All right. Well, and let's hope that this number one contender thing doesn't get wasted on Monday. either way, I guess it's still a match with the Miz, but whatever. All right, let's go on to the Intercontinental Championship matches from SmackDown side. It's Ziggler, Kofi Kingston, and Jack Swagger. Yes, those three guys still fighting each other.
Yeah, well, going back to the lots of twos, well, couple of fours, one of these guys can't really put over the other guy.
Right.
So whoever wins this match, congratulations, you won the match.
Yeah, and it's just like, and then we'll see you again on SmackDown, where you're probably going to fight somebody else soon. I can actually see Dolph not. I can see Dolph losing this because I'm sure Caitlyn will get involved somehow. He seemed like dragging that thing out. Vicky and her will be losing or fighting some for whatever reason. It'll distract him, and then Kofi and Jack are the last two left. And they seem to have a hard-on for Kofi still, who I still just don't see. He had that decent run with Randy Orton. Was it beginning of the year? Middle of the year, something like that?
Beginning.
Okay. And he looked like he was getting ready to break out. And now it's just like, oh, he's back to the same old, same old. And I don't know if that's a product of moving to SmackDown. But there's no interest in him for me at all. So.
He still seems fairly sloppy in the ring, but he definitely gets the reaction. So.
Because doesn't it seem like he's just got that easy gimmick? He goes out there and does hand gestures to get everybody going.
That's a reaction, isn't it?
But it doesn't. But it seems forced instead of people like. I'm trying to figure out how to explain it. It doesn't seem genuine. It seems like, oh, here's the guy. I'm supposed to do this. Instead of like a guy coming out and you going, oh, and just cheer for the guy or just hating the guy automatically. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess maybe I'm fishing for something to hate on Kofi about. But that's just what it seems like for me. So,
well, I'd started to think it that way, but then to me, what turned me was on Raw on Monday, because he was on the show and he got a good crowd reaction. Like, you know, to me, I still try to pay attention to the crowd in the background on SmackDown, but they do a pretty good job of keeping the crowd out of a lot of their shots. Like, they do a lot less crowd work on Fridays than they do on Mondays.
That's because they're sitting on their hands all the time, so...
Well, yeah, and I think that's part of it. So to me, when I saw everyone reacting on Monday, I'm like, okay, like, he's still doing good. Like, I couldn't tell, know, on the on SmackDown, you know, you hear the chants, it's just like, well, is this canned or is this not canned?
And so
I don't know.
To me, being a hater, I'll just say it's because it was fun to have a SmackDown wrestler on Raw, you know.
That's fine. But, I don't see him winning the belt, though, just because they haven't had any faith in him. Like, you know, I can argue his popularity all I want, but they obviously don't seem to think he's all that important either.
Yeah. But that leaves us with Swagger, who has a man in an eagle outfit as his mascot, who's been kind of lost. It was funny that they mentioned it on SmackDown that he won the Money in the Bank match and then became champion after that. And it's like, really? Because if I just started watching now and you told me that, I'd just sit there and go, you're insane. He's going back to his ECW days, where it's like he's trying to earn his spot all over again.
I guess that's the other weird thing, is that both him and Kofi really got their run both at the beginning of the year, and they've knocked them down, and they've knocked them down so far, it's like, wow, what are you going to do with these guys now?
Yeah.
You know, I think both of them are in the same situation. Obviously, they still think more of Swagger because you don't get the belt without, you know, having some type of faith, but...
Yeah.
You know, he's aside from getting his ass kicked.
Yeah, and so it just seems to me like it, with him, and he needs more validation in this than Kofi Kingston or Dolph does. Dolph just seems like the weird champion guy. Like, he's a champion because they haven't done much with him. His identity is based around Vicky Guerrero. And it's not, you know, and I know he's our boy and all that, but still.
Yeah, well, and it's been half, and what they've done with Vicky Guerrero has been half-assed. Like, it's not like she's shot him up to the top of the charts or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, he's kind of been there, and then he won on his own the one time before she came back to him and they had their makeup session or whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like, I keep on thinking that they have a lot of faith in him because they continually put him in long matches, no matter what it is. Seems, whether it's with Daniel Bryan or Ray or, like, somebody, like, he always seems to have these long matches, but then, as I just said, like, they haven't done anything with him. Like, great,
right.
He has the Intercontinental Championship. Like, it doesn't seem like for him it's a stepping stone, as it has with some people.
Yeah, it's just a placeholder. They needed someone to have the belt, and that was it.
Yeah.
So, but no. And that's why I just think in this, even if Ziggler wins, it won't matter. So that's why I think they may go with Swagger winning this. Because he needs it more than any of the other guys do. Kofi's going to be where he is because they're going to continue to push him. Swagger just seems lost. And him winning gives him a direction, at least, for the character, and then also, you know, it'll validate the idea that, you know, championships are going to change hands, too. Because this will probably be early in the card, I figure. It may even be the opener.
You'd think that it's going to be pretty early.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all three of them should be able to operate quite well with the ladder involved. Like, all three of them are young and athletic and quite mobile. You know, there's no, like, lumbering presence like Kane let's say,
mm-hmm.
around. So, I mean, they, you know, that's, to me, seems like a perfect formula for an opener. Plus, it's a shitty
yeah.
championship, so.
Yeah, and it's a belt.
You know, that's it. I mean,
yep.
it looks better than a tag team championship, and that's about it. So, all right. Mm-hmm. So I'm still gonna go with Swagger. Who are you thinking?
Well, just because he does have Vicky on his side, I'm gonna go with some type of Vicky interference benefits Dolphy Dolphson.
Okay.
And he's
all right. All right. Well, let's go with the. I'm gonna save John Cena for last because. And no, there's
okay.
a reason. So, yeah, let's go. Miz and Randy Orton in a tables match.
This is where Sheamus beat John Cena last year in a tables match. Because this is the one championship match that can be a total fluke win.
Yeah, and that's it. I kind of started with that earlier, and maybe
mm-hmm.
I shouldn't have.
Yeah, that's why I cut you
but,
off. But I think we're both seeing this the same way. It's going to be a lot of Orton dominating. To me, this just looks clear that it's going to be Orton dominating, Miz getting his hope spots, Riley interfering some way. Basically, Orton will probably put Riley through a table, and then Miz will somehow sneak in and put Orton through a table to win. It won't be a dominating one like Sheamus had. It'll be a sneaky thing. Just to make people really hate Miz still.
Yep, that sounds like a perfect formula for me. I don't even know
yep.
if I can add anything because
yeah
that's
and
much the
why
way
I didn't
that
want this
run.
One to be last. Yeah, that's why I was saving John Cena for last. So
you know,
all right, so we both agree Miz will win, and there's the preview of it.
Yeah, I mean, there's really even less to that one. There's nothing to bitch about.
Right.
Jay Lethal is
so
a lucky son of a bitch.
So let's get into this John Cena Wade Barrett match. This one
okay.
has months of backstory. And they just threw this one on the card. They basically taken the entire Nexus and John Cena angle and blew it up over 3 weeks. John Cena got fired. 3 weeks later, he's rehired in wrestling on a pay-per-view. He didn't even ask. I mean, they had the goodbye thing with him walking out. But that was it. He's back the next week, rehired the next week. They didn't try and draw it out whatsoever. But I can't imagine. I get this is my hatred of John Cena, and I'll give you more examples of it in this one. I can't imagine if John Cena's not on the pay-per-view that many people won't buy it. Am I just wrong in thinking that?
Well, I think it's become obvious to everyone, really, even at this point, that he gets a split reaction. And, yeah, I don't know. I mean, do the kids really want John Cena on their tube that much? I guess. Isn't there another way to sneak him back? Like, to me, it doesn't make sense that he was fired and then rehired by the same guy.
Mm-hmm.
So shouldn't Barrett still have control over him?
Yeah. My thing is, shouldn't Barrett be going to the GM going, all right, this was the deal. This guy's still here. How is he getting into the building? Why isn't he being arrested for jumping the guardrail, just like a regular fan? Just all these logical steps that should be taken aren't being taken. I mean, John Cena showed, and this is why I hate him, and I hate his matches, and just the more that comes out about what a backstage politician he is, the more I just feel validated in hating him so much. Look at what happened on Monday. He's called into the ring. He gets in there and acts like, oh, yeah, blah, 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 blah. I already know what's going to happen here. Just acts like there's not a care in the world. And Wade Barrett goes, "You're hired. You're rehired." He's like, "Yay! Yay! I'm rehired." And then Barrett goes, "Under two conditions." And Cena goes, "What? What are those? You have to fight David Otunga." "Okay." And then you have to fight me in a chairs match. "Okay." And then he gets beaten down with chairs. And at the end of the show, he doesn't even sell that he got beat down by Nexus again, and he got beat down by a bunch of chairs, too. The guy blows off everybody to make sure he looks good. It's a classic Hulk Hogan thing. Ugh. I can't stand it. I'm tired of him. And I know this is just bitching for the sake of bitching, because nothing's going to change. But the motherfucker is bad for WWE. Maybe their books look good, and he sells merchandise. But as much as we bitch about Triple H, he's doing an even worse job of holding people back.
Yeah, because he obviously did not help put the Miz over earlier this year.
Well, no, he made Miz look like shit.
And despite what he did to the Miz, the Miz has recovered quite nicely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it just seems like to me, you know, that there's some way to get him on the pay-per-view, you know, if he just continues an attack. Like, going back to that whole there aren't enough matches,
mm-hmm.
Couldn't they have done something with more of Nexus? And then, you know, you have a bigger match or something like that, a tag team elimination match, something of the sort. Like, those knuckleheads lost their tag belts. Have Cena cost them their tag belts again. I don't care.
Yep.
Like, I guess it wasn't the length of time. Well, yeah, it was the length of time. And that, in a chair match, for the animosity that they've had between each other, seems way too tame.
You got it. Yep. That is exactly it.
I have more of a problem with that than the whole, you know, John Cena thing. Like, the angle's just so shot. Like, you've spent this much time on it, and it's been good up till now. Like, why are you just pretty much saying F off?
Yeah, but that goes to my whole thing. You know John Cena's winning. That's why. That's why he's acting this way. It's not that the guy doesn't understand. It's just the fact he doesn't care. I'm sure he's probably backstage going, "If it wasn't for me, there is no Wade Barrett." Which, I mean, to a certain degree, there is some validity to it, but not a lot.
Right.
Randy Orton could have put Wade Barrett over the same way. Edge could have done the same thing. I mean, hell, look at what Jericho did by not even wrestling Wade Barrett. How he got him over. That's called giving back.
Yeah.
I guess this is a larger complaint with wrestling in general, and we've had this discussion before. Everyone talks about how it's all about making money for yourself, doing this. If you build up somebody, these two guys build each other, you have an entire company full of guys who are huge. And then you fight. And you both make a shitload of money.
For being as smart as some of these guys really are, they do a good job of not understanding what would benefit them the best.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're moving merchandise, but you know, you would probably move more if, you know, you looked credible, you know, you had something to worry about, I guess.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right, man. I mean, I actually really like your t-shirt example, or merchandise example. Okay, I'm fighting the guy, I'm getting people to come to this arena, and I'm fighting the guy who people don't really care about because I'm not helping it out. So I'm in a 15,000-seat arena selling 8,000 tickets. I built this guy up, 4,000 more people show up. And I know I'm being generous with the four. I mean, I'm being, lowballing it with four.
You're exaggerating, but you know, it works.
Yeah, but that's 4,000 potential customers interested in, we'll say, being, you know, generous, 75% of those people will buy your shirt because they're there for the event. And that's why I hate John Cena, because he doesn't see that. I don't, and that's why I love the story about when McMahon wanted somebody who would be one, wouldn't be one of the boys, who would be management, you know, plaything, whatever else. And he was supposedly one of the first guys in line. That was the most, easily believable story I've ever heard. Easily. Yeah. With that being said, Wade Barrett's going to lose this match and just be like, oh, okay, no surprise there. The little kids will scream for Cena, and he'll give the big, you know, whatever he does with his hands and be happy about it. And the adults who used to like wrestling will go, this fucking stinks. So.
Yep. All goes did back to the, you know what, you could, that's fine, you're making money, but you can do this better, and you can still make it adult-friendly rather than just fucking off the, you know, part of your customer base.
Yeah, oh, they fucking said the hell with the adults like us. I mean, they really have, but they always give you, just a little bit to hold on to. Like, Jericho is out there. Jericho is clearly for the adult characters, or was a character for adults. Because kids, I mean, he would be out there, and he'd call people peasants and that. But for the adults out there, he'd call people, like, magnanimous, and use all of, not big words, what's the word I'm looking for?
10-cent words?
I don't know. I'm just drawing a blank all of a sudden. But when he's just using words that obviously children would sit there and go, huh? And it gives adults a chance to laugh at it, because you have to rope the adults in somehow, or they're gonna say no to their kids. I mean, especially with how much tickets are. but no, this is just a weird pay per view. This is the funnest time of year for WWE though. For me, from now until WrestleMania, and they've done a nice job of stretching it out, because it used to be a Royal Rumble till WrestleMania.
Yeah.
This is where the goofy shit starts happening. And all the way through WrestleMania, that's where the writers actually care. They must, you know, they actually don't worry about outside life and actually concentrate on writing decent stories. So this is generally the beginning of it now, so, and it just sucks John Cena's involved, but whatever. If they complain about Jeff Jarrett and Dixie Carter and TNA, it's not gonna matter, but anyways, so yeah, I'm going with John Cena winning this and destroying the rest of Nexus too. So, unless Skip Sheffield shows up, I know I'm trying to get us done here, but it would actually be the most pleasant surprise possible if, I don't even know if the guy's healthy, but if Skip Sheffield does show up and beats the hell out of John Cena and helps Wade Barrett win. And then Wade Barrett just goes, I don't need you guys, kick all of Nexus out and just keep Sheffield by his side. Why? I don't know. I have no further plot point going forward, but it would still be fun to see. So, but yeah. So, yep. So that's the TLC coverage. So, yep.
Rock and roll.
So there's your preview. I don't know if we're not going to help sell an event apparently. So.
No, nope, doesn't take us any money. Fuck them.
Yeah, fuck them. I don't see any advertising. So, all right. Well, I'm going to get going because I don't know if I have something to do today or not, but we'll find out. So, hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll be back next week where we'll talk about Batista's daughter fucking on camera and Tara's boobs and her bike shop and all that good stuff. So, have a good weekend.
Okie doke, grandkids. Well, since it is fairly early in the day, it's time for recovery from gym time. So I'll save the sippy time beers for later tonight, but they will be flowing. Night.